Dame un five.
Brandilla.
Y de Castrina es uno.
Hi, Brandy.
Hey.
Are we still connected?
We're still connected.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Good afternoon. Morning.
Morning.
Hanukkah Sameach. Happy New Year. Happy Secular New Year. Excuse me.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
We'll start in about a minute.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Okay.
I'm
going to
go ahead and
travel. Hannah Esther.
Happy New Year. Happy Secular New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy Secular New Year. We'll start in about 30 seconds.
Okay. I'm going to mute.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Anabekoas. Anabekoas. Gedula chumin fa tati serura. Aleph Gimel Yutach Tzadi. The letters of the month of Tevet. The ayin that created the constellation. Gedi, the astrological sign of Capricorn, and the bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Together, the ayin and the bet have a gematria of 72, which connects us to the sephirah of Chachma, wisdom. Kabel rinat amcha sagbenu. Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Taharen Rachame Sikatcha Tamid Kamlein Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tucha Nael Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yahid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Hei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tzadi Yutah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're going to long separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, between the receiving positive aspect, the sharing positive aspect and the receiving negative aspects. And we're going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to accomplish this. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum Vechanun. Erech Apaim. Ve'rav chesed be'emet, notzer chesed la'alafim, notzer avon va'fesha, v'chata'a v'nakei. Now we're going to read the verses that connect us to the energy of the various years, starting with this year, 5777. The year of the goat, the year of the wake-up. There are two verses that connect to this energy. One is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katzipor o yavai chinam. This verse has five words. When we take the first letter of the five words, we're able to parse it into three Hebrew words. Satz, ki, ach, appear like brothers. And when we take the final letters of these five words, we're able to permutate them into two Hebrew words. Dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. Together, these five words of the verse and these five newly created words all connect to the energy of the goat and of the wake-up. The second verse that connects to this energy of the goat is the verse Joshua, chapter 23, verse 8, which has the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zayin, concealed within the verse. Each of those four letters is separated by seven other letters, each. Kim ba Adonai, Yohei Wahei, Elohechem Adivaku, Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now, for the year 5776, the energy of the pause, we have two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first of these is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Farak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha-olot Vayechaskum Achechem Halvim Ad Kelod Hamlacha Yad Yitkachu Hakohanim Ki Halvim Yishre Leval Leit Kadesh Me Hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permutate it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Reka Ha. The second verse connecting to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Adead Ki biya Yohei Adonai Yohei Wahei Tzur Olamim. The year 5775, the year where death is swallowed forever, that's the energy of the year, there are three verses Job chapter 7, verse 19 is the first. Kamalo tishemimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second of the three is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Udu Mikol Amahavuya Asher Yitabe Sham Wishaltem Eli El Nahom Wehalakti Item Wichayim Yeshno Baretz Vihipasti Oto Bikol Alfe Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzah yove de roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. The verse we say, the one verse that has this energy in all of the Tanakh, is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael umtati v'shakam ta'akta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to say a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. It's from the Parasha of Yitro, and it's Pasuk 29. And I'm going to start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bishilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu. Liachta l'shem yud-hei b'vav-hei v'yehuda shilim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah v'yehi noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adenu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei adenu k'nenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar b'kama atar Tane nan de kucha, perichu koma di aved leela witata, kolaihu kishot viovada, dikshot velet lachmila, vialma divae, varnash ledachya. Leya mineya ulan haga beya kelana dehakulhu ovada dikshot inun bekola it's the rish be alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who left, they left this day, the 3rd of Tevet. Rabbi Abraham Brandwein of Stretton, Rabbi Yaakov HaKohen Gadisha, Rabbi Yeheskel Ezra Yeshoshua, Rabbi Chaim Leib Shmuelovitz. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's handout, today's class, is a continuation from last Sunday's class on the Ner Yehudim, the unity of the light, the kavanah to have when you are lighting a candle, whether it's the Hanukkah candle, which we will do next year, and or the Shabbat candles, or a Yahrzeit candle, or just to light a candle in order to do this Yehudim. You'll find the handout, and where we're going to start on the handout, on the unique astrological events link below the two pictures on any of the Hashem web pages. When that opens up, scroll down to the Hanukkah section. And this is the third link. It's titled Ner Yehudim -3. And it will open up to where we have completed the teachings, the explanation, and the description of the Yehudim, which we covered last week. And now Rabbi Bar Sadok is going to go in to what he thinks is important, which is the psychological implications of that, of the Yehudim. Now, I am not a Kabbalist. I don't know if Rabbi Bar Sadok calls himself a Kabbalist still. I think he's always called himself a student of Kabbalah. And he is obviously much more knowledgeable in many areas than I am. And so what I'm about to say to you is not written, but it's something for you to contemplate and consider. I have had this discussion with many of my students on an individual level. I've never expressed it in a full class like this. In my opinion, and it's strictly my opinion, Kabbalah is teaching about energy transfer. Psychology is teaching the highest level of the mental level. Now let's talk a little bit about what the levels are. The levels are Sephirot, the levels are worlds. But on a practical matter, the lowest world, of which we call Malchut, represents action. The world of Zeranpin, the world of Yetzirah, represents emotions. The world of Bria, the world of creation, represents the mental level. And psychology is dealing with the unconscious level of the mental level, which has the emotions, the root of the emotions that are above the world of Yetzirah. They're in the world of Bria. Why in our human body itself we have so many hormonal glands, the glands that produce hormones, in the neck, just at the top of the chest, and others that are in the brain itself. It's my opinion that when Adam sinned and fell spiritually, the glands that had been in his head came down through the neck to the top of the chest. And those within the head represent the Sephirot that did not break due to the breaking of the vessels, and are represented by the sin of Adam as well. But continuing my opinion, there is a higher world, a world of spirituality. And this is the world of Atzilut. And in my opinion, the world of Atzilut is dealing with our unconscious, and is also dealing with the Keter, the energy transfer. This is my opinion. It may be true, it may be false. It's up to you to determine what is correct for you. I tell you this because as you read this from Rabbi Bar Sadak, his emphasis is on psychology. And I do not think this is the highest level. But the level that of energy transfer is taught in the classes of the Sefer Yetzirah, which Rabbi Bar Sadak teaches. And I was a student of his. And always he would emphasize energy transfer in his teachings. Rarely did he bring in psychology in that particular series of his classes. Now we are going to start to read. Now that we have described the meditation in practice, let me explain it psychologically and show how this yichud is actually a mental exercise for mental spiritual development, as well as a prayer of the heart to reach out to bond with Hashem. We must know and understand that what we call psychological development and spiritual and spiritual development are essentially one and the same. The meaning of tikkun, rectification, correction, is actually the correction of the human personality and character and its alignment with the supernal divine in whose image we were created. In other words, spiritual growth by definition means character development and refinement of personality. For one to be the absolute best human being and individual one can be, this is the whole purpose of Torah, mitzvot, Kabbalah, and meditation. Anyone teaching otherwise simply has not grasped the essence of the Torah. My research into these terms, character development, which in the Hebrew is the word midot, and personality refinement, has another Hebrew word, which I have really, truly never learned. But in my development, my study, I have learned that the world defines these two aspects, personality and character, separately. Yet the world also uses these terms interchangeably, and this is what leads to confusion. Personality is what is inherent in your DNA. Yes, you can have a personality of getting angry, but you can also have a character development of getting angry. Tikkun approaches the midot, the character developments. And ultimately, you may need to go to the root of the personality development, of changing your DNA, your understanding, your values. Character development comes from your society, comes from your family, comes from what you learn. And it can be changed more easily than personality refinement and development and rectification. That is my unwritten commentary, that it would be nice if someone would verbalize that, write it out, because it's something I don't have the time to do, and so I could then place it in this particular place on this page. There are other places I have written it out, and we will be going over them in a few weeks, months. We shall see. Now, my written commentary. Obviously, according to Rabbi Bar Sadok, I have not grasped the essence of Torah, since I agree that personality and character development is the purpose of psychological development and mental development of a human being. I do not agree that this process increases the desire, which is the consciousness of a human being. This is the higher level that I have referred to earlier. Ultimately, a human being will grow his or her unified desire to be capable of revealing all of the attributes of the Creator, which is the true essence of being closer to the Creator. Continuing Rabbi Bar Sadok's writings. Yehud Ner is much more than a visualization exercise aimed at influencing spiritual supernal energies. Yehud Ner is a constant construct to teach us about ourselves and how it is that we better ourselves. The names Echieh, Elohim, and Adonai, and Hashem, Havaya, all represent elements within the human experience. To be brief, each of these names acts as a source for that which is directly beneath it within the framework of the human makeup. My commentary. Please note that there were six names referred to above, yet only four are listed here. That is because we use Havaya, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, two additional times. One when we intertwine with Elohim, and once when we intertwine with Adonai. Thus we utilize six names of Hashem. Are the three names of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei the same consciousness? I will leave this for you to contemplate. And when I say contemplate, I'm saying in a meditation, talk to those letters. Talk to that name. Question that name and receive the answers that are right for your soul, that are correct for your soul. And our source is our own, is our unknowable essence, our personal Sefirat Keter, our inner higher self. Corresponding to this attribute is the name Echieh. Yet the name Echieh is the source and underlying influence over the entire human mind. Therefore, psychologically, the name Echieh represents the aspect of the human mind. The name Elohim, which connotes judgment, division, distinction, and separation, underlies both our conscious and unconscious mental processes. We are almost never aware of what is happening in our conscious, in our unconscious. All we can perceive are moods and feelings. Therefore, the name Elohim psychologically represents the heart, the seat of our human emotions. This is a commentary. There are also emotions that are above the mind, are at the top of the mind, in the unconscious. In a sense, they emanate and are within Bina. When Zeron Pin rises to Bina, to Dot, our emotions rise to an elevated status. They're not intellectual, they are our emotions, but on a different level than when they are in the body reactions. Back to the essay. The name Adonai, as said above, represents our physical universe. As such, this name comes to psychologically represent the third and lowest aspect of the human structure, our physical bodies, and its wants and needs and its desires. Are the body desires our desires? I will leave you to contemplate that as well. Continuing to read. Last but not least, we turn to the name Havaya, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. This name, which as we see, imbues and embraces all the others psychologically, representing the aspect of the human spirit, the highest of all four human components, the one most ignored and usually forgotten by us. The four names therefore come to represent spirit is Havaya, mind is Echieh, heart is Elohim, body is Adonai. And my commentary is that I would attach different relationships. One is soul, as opposed to spirit. Two is mind, as Rabbi Bar Sadak said. In the upper worlds of Yud and He of Havaya, or the Gimel Rishonot of Keter Chachma and Bina, of the Keter of me and the Keter of us, the word you in the writings is incorrect. I have come to change that. Number three, the emotions represent the six ends. And if we look at the following words, Chesed Gevura Tiferet Netzach Hod Yesod, this is commentary, they represent the six ends. Why are they called ends? Is a very long discussion. But abruptly, chesed is loving kindness, is an emotion. Givurah of judgment, of power, of strength, are emotions. Tiferet, beauty, emotions. Mercy, emotions. Netzach, in eternal vigilance, eternity, eternal victory, is emotions. Hod, thankfulness, appreciation, emotion. And Yesod, creation, creativity, the sexual organs, and the spine, emotions. emotions change, and that's why they're called ends, because they do come to an end. They do come to a change. Today I'm happy, tomorrow I may not be, God forbid. And the fourth level is the body. The lower worlds of, I'm continuing to read. I'm trying to keep this clear for you. The lower worlds of Vav and He, or the seven lower Sephirot. The Yichud Ner now comes as a mental construct of how we psychologically contemplate imbuing our minds, hearts, and bodies with the element of spirit, which is the source of all inner peace and true personal contentment, or in other words, light. My comment to that paragraph is to ask you to consider another way of perceiving this. We speak of Hashem coming into our physical world. That is one of the teachings of many of the Orthodox communities. Hashem will come into the physical world, but we first must clean the physical world. And the way we clean that is to clean our bodies and to clean our emotions and to correct both our bodies and our emotions, as well as our minds. This is another way of perceiving the work that every human being has to do, especially and most importantly, the children of Israel. Continuing to read Rabbi Ash Bar Sada. Thus, when we recite the Hanukkah blessing, L'chadlik ner Hanukkah, to light the Hanukkah light, we contemplate the meaning of ner as we recite the word ner in the bracha. This is what the Arizal calls a Kavanah meditation. The entire concept is either contemplated or in the tradition of the Siddur Rashash, visualized in detail with all the names in the corresponding passage of spiritual energy. Shefa, from one word to the next. In order to accomplish this, according to the Rashash tradition, the pronunciation of the word Ner is elongated for as long as it takes one to perform the visualizations or the contemplations. And this would be true for the Shabbat candles. And while it is not, there is not a bracha for lighting a Yahrzeit candle, the contemplation of the name of the Tzaddik or the name of the person, you can attach the word ner to and elongate it within your mind. Yehud Ner can also be simplified and offered as a simple prayer to Hashem, in which one prays that one can develop all of one's inner hidden potentials and rise to be the best and most accomplished that one can possibly be in this lifetime. In a prayer form, Yehud Ner can be summed up as follows. This is an English translation. May it be your will, Hashem, that your divine spirit fills my mind, my heart, my body. May I truly come to know and understand your purpose and your role for me. May I actualize all that is latent and concealed within me. May I truly actualize becoming a full human being created in your image. And may we all say, Amen. In the L'shem Yichud that we say, there are two mitzvot that are discussed, mentioned, thought upon. One is to speak words of Torah, and the other is to live Torah. La'asok ba'Torah. That is, in my mental construct, in my understanding, that is the meaning of la'asok, expressed in this paragraph from Rabbi Bar Sadak. Continuing to read. This concludes our brief review of Yichud Ner. In the original Kabbalistic format found in the Siddur Rashash, there are many more intricate details to this meditation. Nevertheless, all the details still point to the same conclusions that we have outlined here. One point I cannot emphasize strongly enough. In order for Yichud Ner to truly have its transformational effect upon a human character and the psyche, one has to truly mean it and desire it. A mere visualization of mental concepts without any heartfelt desire will accomplish nothing other than giving one a false sense of grandeur. Such illusions are all too common in the insincere. Sincerity, discipline, and desire, these are the keys that actualize Yichud Ner and indeed manifest the true meaning of Hanukkah. And I am adding light and the Hebrew spelling, Chanukah. My commentary. In my opinion, a more real translation of the Hebrew letters used in the spelling of the word Hanukkah is dedicated teaching of the concealed wisdom of Hashem as revealed in the physical world. That is a more literal translation. If one wants to understand how this has arrived, using the essence of the letters, you can send me an email and I will lay that out for you. But I recommend you try to do that for yourself at first. Hanukkah, as we know, is a holiday founded upon Jewish victory in a horrible war that was brought about by severe provocation on the part of the invading Greeks. Judaism as a religion and religious Jews as individuals were subject to outrageous injustice. The minds, the hearts, and bodies of the people were being violated and abused. Darkness reigned supreme in the psyche of the people. Light, both psychological and political, was needed to bring about redemption. There can be no redemption that is not both personal and national. This was the experience of the children of Israel in Egypt, and so was it in the days of the Maccabees. Political redemption could only come about once personal psychological redemption was sought and achieved. Only then were warriors born out of priests. Only then did men of peace become men of war. To fight for what was right, just, and necessary. To shine the light of justice and morality into a world severely out of balance. Thus, Hanukkah is not remembered as the holiday of war, but rather as the festival of lights. The miracle in the temple of the one-day supply of oil, miraculously burning for 8 days, was Hashem's way of showing us that when we make the efforts and sacrifice to let the light shine, he will match our efforts and more. The Maccabees performed the Yehud Ner with or without the Kabbalistic visualization meditation. They actualized what Ner meant. In order for us today to fight the good fight against the forces of darkness in our world, be they psychological or political, we too must shine the light, the inner light of the Ner. My commentary. Our tradition and sages teach that what happens to the fathers will happen to the children. When the sages added the holiday of Hanukkah to the calendar, they are telling us that what happened in that generation will and is happening in every generation. Our modern Kabbalists tell us that relative to previous generations, we are very weak. We are too weak to fast, so give money for tikkun, correction, instead, and other similar teachings. The revelation of the Ner Yehud to the general population includes the following additional thoughts from Chanoch. We need light to be revealed in this world of darkness, since so many good people have completed their tikkun. We who are left returning to this world need to work hard to reveal light against the presence of darkness in our lives. This is one of the reasons that the Kabbalah is being revealed to the whole world in this generation. We need the strength and power of Kabbalah to succeed in our spiritual missions. I'm going to tell you a very quick story that I read today. It was written by somebody I respect who is not a Kabbalist. And he's talking about kindness. He's talking about good deeds. And the story he tells is about one of the sages who lived 400, 300 years ago. And he had a dream. And in that dream, he wanted to listen to a yeshiva in the spiritual world from an earlier sage. But the guards would not let him in. So he told them about who he was. They still wouldn't let him in. He told them about the Torah that he had revealed in this world. They still would not let him in. Finally, he said he's the father of his son. And they let him in. When he awoke, he ran to his son and told him about the dream, and he asked him, "What did you do?" And his son said, "I don't know." And then he thought some more and he said, "A few weeks ago." "I needed a new pair of shoes. And I've been saving for this new pair of shoes. Penny, nickel, dime. I was saving so I could buy my own pair of shoes and not have to go to you or to someone else." And so he struggled. But he finally had saved enough to buy his new pair of shoes. And as he walked out of the store, he saw an ani, a poor person, a homeless person in our generation, in our vernacular, who did not have any shoes and his feet were bloodied. He had nothing to keep them warm in the snow, because Eastern Europe is not very amenable to weather, especially in the winter. And I realized that he had no way to keep his feet warm. And I did. So I immediately took my shoes off, gave them to him, gave him his new shoes, not his old ones that he was carrying. And he proceeded to put them, his old shoes, back on. And his father, the sage, realized, no matter how much Torah you study, no matter how much you reveal, only in this world do actions count. The actions of love, the actions of mercy, the actions that help others. Now I'm continuing to read the essay. We have learned that all people who follow a spiritual path are considered children of Israel. All people, including the children of Israel, are idol worshippers to some extent. This must be changed either by the Armageddon War, Chas v'Shalom, or the personal study and living of the Kabbalah. Did you do the Ner Yehud when you read the word Shalom? The word Shalom is lighting a light. The Ner Yehud is not about lighting candles. It's about revealing light. The Ner Yehud includes the following numbers and can be used to make financial donations in their multiples. An example of a multiple is a unity of male and female to reveal light of 500, which is 500 pennies, or $5, or 500 nickels, $25, or 500 dimes, $50, or $500, or 550 cents. Pieces, or 500 times 2/4. These are all multiples of the number 500 when you're giving donations. Of course, different coins can be used, not just pennies. Even multiples of dollars can be used. Below are both numbers and visualizations of the intertwined names to be used in the Ner Yehud. Whenever one does this or any Yehud, it is best to first give a donation of tzedakah. I hope you make this donation to Yeshem, yet it is good to make it to any truly poor person. The important thing is to make the donation. Your consciousness controls. This means when you think that you will, and that you will do the actual action later, at a specific time or place, then it is as if you gave the donation. This allows you to make your tzedakah action in advance of your yehudim. The sages teach that it is good to give tzedakah prior to Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, and every holiday. The tzedakah action is what powers the yehudim. It's the gasoline that you put into your tank of change. Havaya, Hashem, has a gematria of 26. Echye is 21. Adonai is 65. Elohim is 86. At the level of the mind, it's combining Havaya with Echie. That would be 47. At the level of emotions, it's Havaya and Elohim. That would be 112, the same as the river that Jacob crossed when he wrestled with the angel. At the level of Havaya and Adonai, that is 65 plus 26, or 91, the same as the word Amen. I would also, let me read this final few sentences, and then I will speak of another subject, a similar subject. This Yehudim is meant to be used each time one says or thinks the following words: Shalom, peace or completion, Ner, candle or light, or light, many other words. Ask me, send me an email if you have a word that you want to include in this. Ask me if it's appropriate in kosher. I will be happy to tell you that. This is a very powerful tool. With respect to this type of tzedakah or truma, there are times that people do not feel they have the funds to make a donation. We've discussed in our basic class on Truma and Tzedakah that the minimum is 10% of your net income. I calculate what my 10% is from every donation I receive from you. And if I don't feel that I am able to make that donation at that moment, I put it down with a verbalized intention to the universe. When I have sufficient resources, I will include this. So I keep a running total. It goes up and down. And my children have been instructed to include that payment from the last of my monies. Pay this before you pay for my funeral is my instruction to them. And if it means that I will be in a pauper's funeral, that's fine. This is my instruction to my children. I tell you this, not that you need to do this. It's what I do. It's right for me. You will decide for yourself what is right for you. One final section called Meditation from the Siddur Rashash on Blessings or Candle Lighting on Hanukkah. What is the Siddur Rashash? It's been mentioned a few times today. The name Rashash is an acronym for the master of Kabbalists, Rabbi Shalom Sharabi. The sages explained that if the generations merited the Arizal would return in Gilgul or incarnation to explain and enhance his Kabbalistic system. The Sephardim have accepted the Rashash and his methods of Kavanah as that incarnation. The Ashkenazis have done the same thing for Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag and the Kabbalah Center. There are two other schools of thought dealing with Kabbalah since Yari developed and taught his methods to Rabbi Chaim Vital. One is the Baal Shem Tov and what today is known as the Hasidim. This includes many different groups and rabbis, including Chabad, including the Breslover, Rabbi Nachman, and many others. The fourth one is Rabbi Chaim Luzzatto, the Ramchal. One final category of Kabbalist is the Gaon de Vilna, who taught a different path than the others, which includes the idea of the Mashiach ben Yosef. The above five are teachings of Kabbalah that are active today. My teachers have followed all of these five, and they recommended that the schools not be mixed, but understood in their own right. We are not going to explain and comment on the tools of the Rashash relating to Hanukkah and the blessings of lighting the candles below. The above was a brief explanation to introduce the Kavanah of Rashash. Kavanot is a Hebrew word that is translated as intention or direction. You are sending your prayers in the direction of your Kavanah. You are sending your prayers with the intention of your Kavanah. Actually, Kavanot is the consciousness of an action, and then much more than that. Let us delve into the essence of Kavanot, as taught by the Rashash. Kavanot are the underlying power of every word, and especially every letter of a prayer. Kavanah is the channel by which the Shefa, the energy word in Hebrew, from Hashem, is channeled to the physical world. Without Kavanah, there is no flow of Shefa. Of course, this statement is not accepted by the world in general, because sometimes prayer without Kavanah works. Actually, it doesn't. It just appears to work in this illusionary world. Actually, this is part of the spiritual illusion. Prayer with Kavanah always works, not just sometimes. Prayer without Kavanah will sometimes work, and that lends itself to the illusion and people being misled by the Satan and the negative system. What is Shefa? The metaphor used to understand Shefa today is electricity. Electricity exists in the air, yet to be useful to man, must be channeled and used in specific ways. It must be harnessed and flow from the electric fan through wires to a home where an appliance must be plugged into the electric socket to use the electricity properly. If anywhere along the path the various vessels do not use this power correctly, the system does not work, or does not work efficiently or effectively. It may short circuit or be using power inefficiently. Shefa is the power of Hashem. It is life force energy when in a vessel that is capable of coming alive. It is channeled through a spiritual, physical path from the highest world to the lowest, where in order to be used, it must rest upon or within something physical. This is Shefa. This is what the prophets and the Kabbalists of old were taught how to use. This is why traditionally we pray in Hebrew, since the Hebrew letters and words are the path by which the flow of Shefa is most efficiently directed and or used. The consciousness of a human being is very much part of this system and part of this flow of Shefa. And one final commentary. I mentioned earlier my own opinion, and I am referencing my own opinion, and please consider whether it's correct for you. The work that we do, the service to Hashem that we do in the physical world, is cleansing the world and preparing the world for His arrival, for His being in the lowest world, whereas now He cannot be because of the impurity. Shefa is either Hashem essence, or it is a tool to cleanse that essence. Prayer draws that Shefa, draws that energy. And this is why I believe, this is why I know that the higher level of consciousness is energy, is Shefa. And I wish you all a very happy secular New Year. And I ask, are there any questions? I'm not hearing anybody, so I don't know.
No Hebrew, as far as prayers go. I mean, you can only scan and maybe choose a few words that you do know. How do you compose a prayer in Hebrew, then, if that is the most effective?
You either choose to learn Hebrew so that you can do that on your own, or you use the language that you know, and so you're not as efficient, but God understands your heart. The same people that have had this discussion for forever. Do you pray in Hebrew, or do you that you don't understand, or do you pray with your own language that you do understand? And in various prayers, they've said, pray with your own language. And in others, they've said, pray with Hebrew, but read a translation once so that you do understand it at the level of your unconscious. Because what goes into your mind is never forgotten. So you decide what's important to you. To be efficient, or to connect to Hashem?
To connect to Hashem.
Then do so in the language that you know. And as you grow in your spirituality, you will come to understand that Hebrew also enhances, makes it more efficient to speak to Hashem, to connect to Hashem. But it's where you are spiritually. Do you think someone who does not know Hebrew, I didn't say speak Hebrew, I said someone who does not know Hebrew, is higher spiritually than someone who does not know Hebrew? It's a question you have to contemplate for yourself. It's always relative to the souls involved. And I hope I'm clear in this explanation. Are there any other questions? Classes this coming week. We return to our normal schedule. Today at 2 p.m., we will have a basic class that is reviewing for most of you binding by striking. The Hebrew phrase is zivug dehaka'a. The paradox that works is what I have started to call it. And that tomorrow at 4:30 will be a mini Zohar class, as there will be a mini Zohar class Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4:30. All times are West Coast times, so don't make the get confused. 7 p.m. Monday will be an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. 7 p.m. Tuesday will be a class in Tikkuni Zohar. Seven p.m. Wednesday will be questions and answers. Thursday at 4:30 will be a class in advanced reincarnation. And at 7 p.m. will be a Zohar class, similar to what we did last night, for the Parasha of the week, which is Vayigash. Saturday, Motzi Shabbat, 6 p.m. West Coast time will be Havdalah. 7 p.m. will be a Zohar class on the new Parasha of Vayechi. And next Sunday, we will speak on the subject of what is called Shovavim, a period in the calendar that very few people have been exposed to. Shovavim means a mischievous child, and it's literally an opportunity to do teshuvah again with a focus on sexuality. Again, have a happy secular new year, a good week, a good month of Tevet. And I remind you, the month of Tevet can be very hard on people. The energy is going to give you opportunities to become jealous, God forbid, or give you opportunities to become angry, God forbid. The tool to use is binding by striking, which we will be reviewing this afternoon. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful week, month, and year.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.